to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 257. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, guys?
Here and accounted for.
Going good.
Good.
Which means good.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'll take that.
I have a quick question.
Uh-oh.
Question already.
You won't be because you have the windscreen over yours. Do you ever get shocked by your mic?
Oh, yeah.
No. I don't think so.
I get zapped on my lips every once in a while. There's a grounding issue somewhere.
No, but
did you downstairs or is it just since we moved up here?
Just since we moved up here.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, I cannot say I have.
I might have a couple episodes, but not here and obviously not since I use this whole thing, but.
No, I haven't gotten zapped yet.
This was just a
now.
Good, this was
now
just
you got
a
me
goof,
worried,
but I'm glad I got this.
Now I'm afraid because I do. I rest my chin and my mouth on the mic a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. This was Dracula's fro for the longest time, and I took it off. Hey, right?
Oh, jeez. You guys having a good week?
Yeah,
busy but good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's been nice and warm.
Oh, it's 72 today was the highest, and for mid-February that's pretty good. Just after Valentine's Day, that's pretty good.
The last 2 days I've had my moonroof open, so. It's been nice. Can't complain.
Yeah. No.
It's not code for anything, right? Moonroof.
<What? laughs> I was like, what? No.
Had it open.
No, it's been a good week. Just, got my glasses adjusted today because for 3 months they've been sliding down my face. I'm getting tired of it. So
just like a little tighter.
Oh, yeah. When she handed it to me, I told her what was wrong. Mm-hmm. She took it back. She was gone for a good amount of time. Comes back, and when she handed them to me, I could tell instantly they were so tight or tighter. I was like, nice. And then she was like, oh, you got a little space behind your ear. Let me fix that for you. I'm like, okay. So she went back, and then, yeah, it's perfect. So they don't.
Nice.
Yeah, I can actually bend down, and they stay on my face. Man. But like I told her, I said, even if I just do like a slight tilt, it'd slide down on my nose.
Wouldn't it have been hilarious?
I feel like I've got new glasses.
If you would have come back and she would have had them like all completely like lopsided and like a piece of tape in between them. So like,
no, that would not have been good.
These are better. Look, this will fit so much better.
No,
what'd you do to my glasses, woman?
It's an awful idea. No, it's been good though. Yeah. I feel like I said, I do feel like I have new glasses. No.
Nice.
Fit my face nice and tight and without killing me. She goes, I don't want to make them too tight. She's like, I don't want them to...
Give me a headache.
Yeah. Harrison, I said, that'd be good.
Harrison got new glasses, and they look like glasses that my grandparents would have worn, which are actually pretty cool. They kind of look like Malcolm X or the guy. So remember the JFK movie?
No, I never saw it.
With Kevin Costner. He plays Jim. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to say Morrison, but that's
I don't know.
Pretty close. Anyway, but those glasses he wears in that movie is like spot on.
Half top tinted to clear.
Well, no, but but that would be really cool.
There's a picture of my dad when he is in high school with those. They're like brown tint at the top.
Oh, not quite,
clear.
Oh. I don't think I've seen those. Have I seen them? I don't know.
I got a good picture of them. That I swear.
Oh, I saw that picture, but
I know my grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
And grandfather.
Yeah.
Glasses.
Yeah. But I told my, well, that, one of his friends, Noah, said, without those glasses and before, it was Harry. And with those glasses, now it's Harrison.
He looked different to me.
Looks dignified.
He looked, in that picture, I was like, that's Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
He actually looked younger.
Oh, did he?
He looked
like a little boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, for some reason, I don't know. That picture just made him look younger. So, it's a good picture.
I'll take that. I want him to be younger.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not ready for graduation. It's coming soon, right?
3 more months.
My mom asked me, she's like, what are the tickets and how long is the wait and when are we going to get an invite? And I'm like, I
no idea.
I don't know, woman. Listen, mom, calm down.
Yeah, I mean, calm down, Nana. Yeah, we don't know. So
yeah. Last Nate, he went through it yesterday. Last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is it?
I got you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not quite like
I
that.
I got you. Yeah, those are definitely old school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, old school tinted glasses.
Picture of my dad with those.
That's funny. That is funny. Yeah, my dad didn't wear glasses until, I'm trying to think, because, I mean, when I saw him as a younger, well, as a kid and a younger adult, he never had glasses until, I'm thinking, maybe, gosh, late 40s or 50s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then he died when he was 70. But I've had glasses since I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
So
I probably should have had glasses since I was 13. But
yeah.
I waited until I was 33.
At least you got there. Better late than never.
Well, right? What's funny is I wore glasses starting in middle school, and then my sophomore year when I got my license, I stopped wearing glasses. Mm-hmm. And I was fine. I could, you know, play ball. I could, you know, do school work. And when I I failed the eye exam for the BMV.
Oh, yeah.
And so my dad was like, what? I mean, he was so mad. He's like, what is going on? He's like, so we went to get something to eat afterwards. He's like, read the menu up there.
You couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. Yeah. He goes, good grief. He's like, we got to get you glasses. So I got glasses. So then I was fine. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I can. Yeah. So anyway, and I've had them ever since.
Yeah. When I got my first pair, I'm driving home. I'm like, oh my.
The what world is
wow.
A different place.
Wow.
It's a different, a whole new world.
Everything's
right?
Crisp. Not blurious. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Gosh, I've had so many pairs of glasses. I still have two extra, older pairs of glasses.
Mm-hmm.
We'd take them on, when we would go on vacation, I'd take them, put them in my backpack just in case, because the worst thing would happen if I broke my glasses or something happened, I'd be screwed. I wouldn't be able to drive. I wouldn't be able, so I always have the extra two pairs.
Extra?
Yeah, some of my old ones.
And they still are fine.
I use for work.
Oh, yeah.
That way if I scratch them or whatever.
Yep.
I don't want to, but if it happens, it's no big deal. It's not my everyday glasses.
I mean, I definitely need glasses.
You guys ever had Coke bottle glasses?
Nope.
Remember when those? I haven't either. But
nope.
I remember a few people that had to have them, and I always felt bad, but I was like, oh.
That's my dad. But,
is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he's legally blind.
Pretty blind.
Without his glasses.
Yeah.
And he still can't see very well with his glasses.
Oh, gosh. We got a guy at work. I won't mention his name. But he's in his mid-60s, and some other coworkers of mine have said that they've driven with, ridden with him. They're like, he should not drive. He is blind. He doesn't wear glasses, but he has a disease. I can't remember what it's called, but his eye, I think it's one eye. Once a month, he gets a shot in his eyeball.
Yeah.
1 month, it's straight on, and the other month, it's from the side.
Probably
it's
glaucoma or macular degeneration, but
retinopathy.
I've heard something about getting too much pressure in your eyeball.
I can't remember what it's called.
They have to relieve it.
Yeah,
and so that's not that. Fun. I said that sounds horrible. You get a shot in your eye. Good grief!
Hold still.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm very that's why I don't wear contacts, because I don't want to.
No.
My kids do. They wear contacts. So. Mm-hmm. And they have glasses, too. But.
I've been wearing them less and less. I've been leaning on my glasses pretty heavy. Yeah. Jenna's like, I don't even know why you get contacts anymore. I'm like, I still use them, but
I've always loved glasses.
Not as awesome.
It's nice. It's a fashion thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I need them, but I like to wear glasses.
I've never done contacts.
We all look.
Oh, you haven't either?
We look smarter. No.
Nope,
it's not working for me, but you know.
I just do the glasses because my eyesight, really, up close, it's fine, more or less.
Yeah.
It takes a minute to readjust after I take my glasses off, but I don't necessarily need it for arm's length stuff. It's distance, stigmatism and everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm nearsighted, but I'm still blind. I need glasses.
You can see my glasses are really bad on the left side and everything's brr, you know, I've always been kind of goofy like that, but So
I'm goofy, sure. You say?
Yeah,
goofy.
I was going to say something. Oh, maybe.
I can't do goofy. There
you go. All right. Well, I'm glad we're having a good week, and hope the creepies are having a good week.
And that's our episode on glasses.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I didn't have any notes about glasses, and we just kind of winged it. Anyway.
We could do Mickey Mouse better.
Go get your eyes checked.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah. PSA: get your eyes checked.
That's right.
I will say real quick to stay on topic. I am, so every year and a half I would get my eyes checked, and then so I'd get my, you know, my eyes checked, and then the next time I'd be eligible for glasses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, because of money, insurance, I'm like 3 years behind.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, I need, so
mm-hmm.
I almost today, because I've got new insurance, so I was like, I better check and see if they take my insurance. So I didn't. But
did you ever try the online? I can't remember.
Zanny.
Yeah, yeah.
I get emails from them.
Yeah.
A couple times, I don't know, at least once a
Jenna
week.
Jenna still does it.
I have not done that.
She does it for Harrison. She does it for herself. She's done it for Claire. And I think she did it for
somebody at work. William? Doesn't.
Yeah.
She
loves it. Zanny. She tells me all the time, like, I don't know why you don't do that. I'm like, eh. So I probably should try it too, but I haven't.
I'm too, I don't know if it's low school. I'm kind of lazy, but I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. It sounds too techie. Mm-hmm. It sounds too
It's super simple though. She says, and I'm like, I'm stuck in kind of the times of like, well, I want to pick them out. I want to look at them.
I'll have Jenna do it for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
I'll get my prescription from my right. eye doctor, and then if she can.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. My mom wouldn't do it.
Rose colored glasses, right?
If I was married, I'd have my wife do it, but that's not in the picture anymore. So I feel intimidated to do that.
Yeah. Is that weird? Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it though.
So I'd just rather go and pick them out.
When we feel intimidated about something, what do? We send it to Nate.
That's right.
Nate, could you order my glasses for me, please? Yeah. I need these tinted in rose color.
If any creepy out there wants to help me
help me out.
Help message me, email, whatever.
Help a brother out.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. Well, let's get to the dad joke of the show. I got a good one for you.
Uh-oh.
So.
I mean, yay.
It's kind of funny that we were talking about glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So, why is it important to wear glasses during math class?
To see all the facts?
Because it helps with division.
Ah, there you go.
Division.
Division.
The land.
Play on words there. A word.
I'm pretty proud of that one. Yeah. I like that, yeah.
Division.
It helps with division. I'm cracking up over here.
That's funny.
You need to do a Jamaican accent with it.
Jamaican me crazy.
What division? I can't. I don't know. No, that sounds like a New Yorker.
Yeah. You did, yeah.
Yo, division.
Still not getting there.
Yeah. We'll quit while we're behind. And that is the dad joke of the show.
That's good.
And you're welcome.
Nice.
Yeah. You like that?
Muchos gracias.
Oh, boy.
Glacius?
Glacius. I don't know.
Just glacius.
Glacius.
It is kind of funny, though, that we're talking about glasses, and I'm like, I had that joke ready. So. All right. Glad you enjoyed that. Sean?
Yes?
Do you have first announcements?
I do. We come here every week for the guy time, the paranormal, the creepy, the fun. But the most important thing that we do is to continue to build a mental health community. So we want you to call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. So go get you some help.
Okay.
Man, I was so close. I was so close to getting that.
You need your eyes checked to read it.
Probably.
No whammy. Stop.
Brim. Yeah,
oh, exactly. Man. Love that show.
Dang it. Nate knows.
Go get you some help.
Nate knows how I read.
Yeah.
Oh. Very poorly.
Yeah.
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 Whoa.
That's not what I wrote. Yeah.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Well, we want our creepies healthy.
Stories galore.
That's call or text. Yeah. That's what the numbers are for. That's what friends are for. Family, somebody can help you. So reach out.
That song just popped in my head. That's what friends are for. That's right. Sorry, I'm going to be a friend and not sing anymore.
I wore my mental health bracelet the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I was thinking about people, certain people. So
yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. Yep. I wear them a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, but I wore the mental health one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or do you wear those?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This one. Well, I have the Mako one, and then I have the.
You wear two Mako ones.
Uh huh. One's just the regular one, and then one's the mental health ones.
I'm surprised you don't wear like. Seven of them.
I have. I know.
all the way all up. The different colors
on my neck, maybe even look like an African tribal.
I need to do a speaking of creepy. I need to do a contest. I haven't done a contest in a while.
Oh yeah,
you know, like mm-hmm. for stickers or bracelets mm-hmm. or whatever, so might do that. But what are we talking about? Oh yeah,
I don't know.
We love our creepies. We want them healthy.
Get help.
Get help. Mm, it's out
right.
there.
That's right.
Professional, or if you need to reach out to the group or us, whatever. Yep. Don't stay by yourself and hold it in.
Just don't.
That's the worst thing to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely the worst thing. So there's help out there, mm-hmm. right? So, all right. We don't have any. Do we have any special announcements? No, I don't think we have any special announcements. Unless you want to mention again.
The Paracon.
The Paracon. Because I can't remember the last time we did it. Did we have a date?
No.
Okay, no, let's add that then.
Yeah. June 20th is what we have landed on at Greenwood Happy Hunts. More details to come as it gets closer. But yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, it's about 4 months away. So mm-hmm. got plenty of time.
Absolutely.
But the Mako Boys will be there.
We are going to be there, yes.
That's kind of the main reason you should go.
They said, hey, we might need some speakers. I'm like, we got speakers. And they're like, not the kind you plug in, Sean. I'm like, we got speakers and we got speakers. So yeah, they said, we're good on speakers you plug in. We just need speakers. I'm like, you really want us talking? Okay.
And that's for the Thomas House, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thomas House Hotel.
Yeah, in Tennessee.
That's right.
Can't remember which part, but
138 was our episode. I don't know how I remember that.
Oh, okay.
I did re-listen to it, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
I'll have to do that.
We did a nice job.
I don't remember it at all.
We did a nice job.
I don't remember. So, yeah, June 20th, that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Be a fun thing and a great place to have it. So I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to June, period.
Oh, I know. Weather will be a lot better, right?
Yeah. That will be nice.
It better be.
All right. Well, so that's our special announcement. Let's move on. Sean.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about for this episode, please?
Well, this is my pick, which was a surprise to me because I was like, who picked this? Oh, it was me. It's The Black Hope Curse. And if interested, please check out the show notes for the source links we used for this topic.
Yeah. So The Black Hope Curse. I've never heard of it.
I hadn't either.
Nate?
I don't believe so.
Sounds made up, but...
Mm-hmm. This one has an S by it.
Yeah, and then have a thumbs down.
Not a thumbs down.
I have no idea why. When Nate picks his topic and then when we choose it, I put the initials, and for some reason it puts a thumbs down. I don't do that, Nate. You got to believe it. I'm going to show you.
You've showed me before.
I'm like, look, I'm putting it in.
Then I show you mine. It's thumbs down.
Yeah, thumbs down. It does have an S. So do you have some foundation on the Black Hope Curse?
I do. The Black Hope Curse is an urban legend. Urban legend, that means they don't think it's true. Centered on the Newport subdivision in Crosby, Texas, where homes were built over the site of an unmarked African-American cemetery known as Black Hope Cemetery. The cemetery, established in the 19th century and active until the 1930s, served as the burial ground for formerly enslaved people and members of the Black Hope community, a freedom colony formed after the Civil War. So this makes me think of, at least on the surface, Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like listening to this story, I'm like, oh, you wanted a pool in your backyard. Oh, you dug a pool, you found skeletons. Oh, you tried to put them back, and guess what? That didn't work. Mm-hmm. They started crawling all through the mud.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got that would roundabout suck. Way of saying it, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy here says, just outside of Houston, Texas, is a neighborhood filled with upscale homes and manicured lawns. In the early 1980s, Sam and Judith Haney settled in at the far western edge of the development. Sam described it as their dream home. He says, when we bought the house in Newport, it was the house that we had always been looking for. So it was the house that we intended to stay at for a long period of time. But there was a morbid secret about the Haney's perfect home, one that soon turned their lives into a never-ending nightmare. Sam said it all began when a mysterious old man showed up at their door with an ominous warning.
Hmm. That sounds like a lot of different movies.
And that sounds like Poltergeist. Can't remember his name.
You're going to die!
Right? Oh, that guy. And he was dying when he was making that movie, by the way.
Of cancer, right?
Yeah, he literally was dying.
That's I know. Looks like he was dying. He was.
Yeah. Kane. No, is it Kane?
Yes, yep. Kane's right. Yep.
Is that right? I don't know if that's right.
Yeah.
Creepies are out there probably like, no, it's not Kane. But
it's Jedediah.
Go ahead and continue. I'm going to look that
up. You want me to read the quoted part?
Yeah.
Of the ominous warning.
From the old man?
Yeah.
The elderly man told me that he had noticed that we were putting a swimming pool in our backyard.
Mm. Told you. Poltergeist.
And that there was something about our backyard that I needed to know about. So I followed him around to the backyard, and he pointed at the ground and said that there are some graves right here. And he marked a spot on the ground where they were. And I really didn't know how to react to that. I didn't know if he was just joking. I couldn't understand why anyone would want to joke about something like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
It is scary, right?
And it was Kane.
I was pretty sure it's Kane.
See, every once in a while, K-A-N-E. We get things right.
I was like, wait a minute, is that right?
Yeah. So it's interesting. It says, in 1982, Sam and Judith Haney purchased the home, subdivision, began construction of a swimming pool, uncovered two graves, those of Charlie and Betty Thomas, former slaves who died in the 30s. After the exhumation, residents reported a series of paranormal events, including unexplained lights, apparitions, voices, and objects moving on their own. Neighbors like Ben and Jean Williams documented similar experiences, including sinkholes appearing in their yards and children claiming to see spirits. One thing is interesting. They say that this couple, Charlie and Betty, what was it? I think it was... So the wife, so Judith's shoes came up missing. It was yellow shoes or something. And she looked and looked for him, and she's like, where did my yellow shoes go? He's like, I don't know where your yellow shoes went. And it was, they ended up finding them at where her grave would have been. And the idea was, they think that the husband, so Charlie, was trying to give her a birthday present because it would have been on her birthday when this happened or something. And I forget how they made that conclusion, but it's like things would come up missing and things like that would happen. It's like, now how in the world did these shoes get out to where the grave would have been? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was like, he was like, hey honey, I got you something nice, you know? But it was the actual living, you know, Judith's shoes. I thought that was, I'm like, that is creepy. Now, if that really happened and the ghosts were doing that, that's spooky enough. But, or if somebody was trying to play a trick, that's, I don't know. Either way, it's weird.
Yeah, it is. You know,
but I thought that was a really interesting story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, continuing on with Sam, he decided to see if the elderly man was joking or not. So he used a backhoe and started digging where he said the graves were. And they hit something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stopped using the backhoe and started digging my hand. Found pine boards.
Mm-mm.
And when they moved the pine boards, they found something of a skeletal form.
Mm. very scientific with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His surgical precision with your story.
Definitely.
I like it.
And then they... they found out that it was human remains.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That'd be creepy.
What's in the box? What's going to be in the box? I just can't figure that out.
So, he was not joking with him.
Yeah. No, no, not at all.
Sounds like no.
No, the elderly man was not joking.
Mm-mm.
No joking here. Yeah. Let's see. Who said this? I don't know if I'm reading it right. Judith maybe said this. Anyway, it said, there was a clock in my bedroom, and one night it started sparking and putting out a sort of blue glow.
Mm.
So stuff started happening.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
It says, the hauntings got so severe that some family members suffered health issues, and the Williamses later wrote a book titled The Black Hope Horror, a 1992 film, Grave Secrets, the Legacy of Hilltop Drive, was based on these events. Despite legal action, homeowners lost their case due to the lack of evidence that developers knew, or what the developers knew about the cemetery. Again, this is like poltergeisty sounding. While some residents today report no ongoing hauntings, the story remains a powerful cautionary tale about disturbing ancestral lands. The curse is widely regarded as a blend of historical injustice, folklore, and paranormal phenomena with no definite scientific explanation.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Darn it.
So they found a second coffin next to the first one that they found.
Yeah.
And inside, two wedding rings were discovered on the frail index finger of the exposed skeleton. Judith Haney was mortified by the discovery. She says, "They handed me the rings, and it was sickening to think that I had desecrated someone's grave."
Mm-hmm. They probably had
that. Would be hard.
I mean, yeah.
Like, how did you desecrate her grave?
I mean, it's not like they did on purpose. Them. But
yeah.
I mean, as far as like there was no ill intended reasons.
But they wanted to do the right thing, so they wanted to find out who they were that were buried and everything, which led them to the longtime resident named Jasper Norton.
Jasper.
So years earlier, Norton had dug several graves in the area. He told the Haneys that their home and a dozen others were built on top of an old African-American cemetery called the Black Hope. The deceased were mainly former slaves, like we said before, and the last burial was in 1939.
Hmm.
And as many as 60 people were buried there.
Whoa.
And paupers' graves, right?
Mm-hmm. A decent amount.
Paupers.
Huh. Yeah, you said there was a dozen other neighbors that were having issues. They reported lights, televisions, and water faucets turning on and off, and unearthly sounds and supernatural apparitions. It says, worse, these bizarre events were becoming malicious. Like the Haneys, Ben and Jean Williams thought that they had found their suburban paradise when they moved into the same neighborhood, but Jean said she never felt at peace in the house. She is quoted as saying, "After we moved in, everything changed. When I tried to plant new plants, they just would not live, no matter what I did. You know, fertilizer or whatever, they still would not live, and I constantly had a foreboding feeling, a feeling of things are not right, or something bad is about to happen." That would be... Well, she's right.
So there was the, you were talking about that, the clock that had the blue glow.
And it wasn't plugged in.
Right. And mm-hmm. Judith had said that it wasn't plugged in. It said, "I heard the sliding glass door open and I heard what I thought was Sam saying, 'What are you doing?' Everything was quiet. The sliding glass doors were locked and I thought, well, you know, you must be losing your mind. This really must be getting to you. But much to my amazement, that's not where the story ended. In the morning, I woke and went to my closet to get my red shoes, sorry. And I could not find them anywhere." It says Sam backed up Judith's story, saying, "So of course I started looking for them and went through all of her closets where she normally puts things, and we just couldn't find them. We had walked just a short distance from where the grave sites were, and I could see something on the grave, and they were both side by side, like someone had just picked them up, carried them over, and laid them on top of the grave site. Kind of got the feeling that it was like Charlie was giving Betty a birthday present." Isn't that wild though? Like, yeah.
The thing that I find interesting is, okay, they found the graves and then they really wanted to try to do the right things. And so when they, you know, found them, got them out of the ground, they decided to bury them in the yard again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they thought that would be
that would be proper,
make it right. Appease them. And yeah. So it's like they were trying to be proactive with it and trying to do the right things, but
work with us here, you know, Betty and Charlie.
Yeah, but it just
didn't work out that way.
Didn't really work out.
No.
This says, I began to come to the realization that this was not all in my mind and that this had to be have some relationship to Betty and Charlie's graves being disturbed. Their spirits were saying, this isn't right. Says the Haneys were not alone. A dozen of their neighbors were also reporting lights, televisions, and water faucets turning on and off, and unearthly sounds and supernatural apparitions. Worse, these bizarre events were becoming malicious.
I read that.
Oh, did you already read that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
gosh, darn it.
I thought it sounded familiar.
Yeah. Strike that from the record.
The Williams I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
They were saying that near their flower bed, sinkholes appeared in the unmistakable shape of a coffin. The Williams would fill them in, only to have them reappear a few days later. The Williams also felt their ideal home was being invaded by a menacing presence. Random shadows slid along the walls, followed by whispered words and a putrid smell. At the time, the Williams' granddaughter, Carly, lived with the couple. During the blazing heat of summer, Carly said she would stumble into bone-chilling pockets of ice-cold air. She said, "It would be very, very chilly, and you'd have this feeling of foreboding or just, you know, like something wasn't right. Anywhere in the house, you'd have a feeling that you were not alone. Somebody was watching you. It terrified me to be in the house by myself. The toilets used to flush on their own. As the water went down, I could hear it. It was almost like conversations. You could hear people murmuring to themselves. It was a presence or spirit or something there, something that wanted to be heard, wanted me to know that it was there. That is creepy. Mm. Man, can you imagine?
It is being extremely creepy. And,
yeah. I mean, being an adult would be terrible, but being a kid would be extra creepy. Yeah, this is a wild story.
Hmm. Well, they fought in court, it sounds like, against the builders, and they ended up losing a lot of money, and then they also lost the home. So, and besides it affecting their home, them mentally, them financially, it was a really nasty ordeal. Says that she said, I was crying all the time. I was frightened. I was scared of doing my daily routine in my own home. That's terrible.
Yeah.
The bankruptcy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, it'd be terrible. Wouldn't be fun. That's for sure. That'd be, that's very oppressive.
Right.
In your own home. That's what a lot of this supernatural stuff.
Ben Williams, he's said, I came home from work around 10 after 12 from the midnight shift, and I walked straight into the kitchen, opened the refrigerator door, and that's when I seen these two ghostly figures.
Mm. Mm.
And they went straight backwards into the den, and then they started heading right down the hall to Jean's. And it was standing right about a foot and a half from the end of the bed. The only thing I really thought was, they ain't messing with my wife. As I dove through it, I felt a sticky cold sensation in my body.
Oh, that's weird.
I like how you
creepy cool, but
what it said, they ain't messing with me wife.
Yeah,
more the Irish
autocorrect.
Yeah, that was good. I was reading along with you.
Messing with me wife
or pirate.
Yeah, that's a that is arr, man.
Mm.
All kinds of stuff's going on here. I wouldn't want that.
And it wasn't just the Haneys. No, it was the Haneys, the Williams, it was the neighborhood.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody was affected by it, yeah.
And nowadays they say that there's nothing going on there, but it's just, it is weird that it happened for a short period of time. But it doesn't sound like it was, these guys are not trying to get attention. And then they eventually were like, we got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Said the Williams escaped to Montana, later moved back to another house in another neighborhood in Texas. Today they're a happily growing family, no longer plagued by mysterious noises, horrific apparitions, or heartbreaking tragedies. Back in their old neighborhood, none of the current residents have reported any paranormal activity. No one has ever been able to explain what happened to the Williams or the Haneys.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they, excuse me, you're talking about the bankruptcy. Yeah, I mean, they lost the case, they lost their house, money.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a rough time. And they were frightened from, paranormal stuff.
Somebody
not a fun time.
Somebody posted this. This is kind of interesting. Sam and Judith Haney lived on the far west edge of Newport. The address, and they give the address, it's actually not directly on the burial grounds as per the burial map. It's slightly northwest of Poppets Way on the corner of South Diamond Head Boulevard, blah, blah, blah. It may explain why no other residents reported issues. The bodies on the Haney's property were not actually in the Black Hope Cemetery, but on its outskirts, and targeted the Haney's themselves rather than other residents living atop of the actual cemetery.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So that's weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Even weirder.
So the Williams, they explored legal actions too.
Yeah.
And they were told that without definitive proof of a cemetery on their property, nothing could be done. It was then that Jean made a decision that she will forever regret. That was the last straw. You want a body? I'll show you a body. So I thought to myself, I can dig about 2 feet a day, and I knew I would reach a body. But soon after she started digging, Jean fell ill, or felt ill. Her adult daughter, Tina, volunteered to finish the job. After digging for a half hour, Tina also felt ill.
Eat your food, Tina.
Sorry. Carly Carluck was there that day. She says, I remember her saying that she was, that she felt funny. She was getting dizzy as well. She put the shovel down and she went back inside. And she just laid down on the couch. She's like, Mom, Daddy, I don't feel right. There's something wrong. The last thing I remember her saying was, Mommy, take care of my baby. Take care of my baby. Hmm. And she looked so scared. Aww. Hmm. While waiting for paramedics to arrive, Jean tried to keep her daughter conscious. She says, almost immediately her eyes started glazing over, and I was talking to her, trying to talk her out of dying. Please, Tina, talk to me. And all this time, her eyes were changing until they got to the point where I knew that she wasn't responding at all. Tina had suffered a massive heart attack. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, she died.
Mm, geez.
Mm. I wanted a happy end to that.
That wasn't happening. That's terrible.
So I love these comments that are under the story that we were, referencing. It says, since this happened during the 1980s, anyone in their right mind would have contacted Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah, no kidding.
And this other one's interesting. It says, it is not advisable to have water pipes interfering with a cemetery. That could cause hallucinations and make any or someone very sick. They had a very good lawsuit. Usually when reburying someone, you should be good. An old-fashioned way to end hauntings was to rebury the grave. So digging something up and reburying it shouldn't have been an issue. Texas has all kind of problems with their water. Now, today, more than ever before. Ooh, I didn't know that. Salt. It says, salting the ground is another way to keep spirits at bay, sealing them in their grave, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... a frightening story.
It really is.
And it does remind you of Poltergeist. You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like the more you read about it, and it's like, yeah, we've seen that movie. Yeah, that's too bad that she died of a heart attack caused by, supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I'm glad I picked it, even though I didn't remember I picked it.
I can't believe you didn't remember you picked it.
I don't know where I saw it. It must have been some kind of story or video or something or other that I saw, but I don't remember. Yeah. Yeah. When I saw it on there, I was like, oh, I picked that. Yeah. Cause I thought that sounds like an interesting thing. Yeah. It sure is there, Sean.
Hmm. Yeah. Jean believed that her death was caused by supernatural forces. So she's blaming the death on the supernatural. I don't blame her. I mean, what else caused it? You know, she was fine before she started messing, digging and, then she started feeling bad, so I'd blame it too.
Hmm.
Scary story. It's a good one. Good one, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah.
People say that they're asking if people still live in the house where the Haneys and Williams lived, and it says, and then somebody says, I live on the street a few houses down. It's scary. I'll say, crap, man, pop its way. So I don't know.
Yeah. Weird. I don't know. Anything else on the Black Hope curse?
I don't think so. Hmm. Would we go? Are we going to this?
Would we go? Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the area.
I think it'd be interesting. Kinda, right?
Yeah.
Where it all went
down. It's exactly. It's a scary, creepy, unnerving story, but it's a sad one too. A lot of people's lives were
find those red shoes,
up.
Right?
Here's
it's like Dorothy.
Yeah.
Anonymous post from 2018. I have lived in Newport my entire life, and currently my mother lives on a street near Poppets. Recently, she's been having strange things happen to her when she's home alone, like glass bowls breaking and the feeling she's being watched out of all hours of day. She's also heard two complete strangers that have lived one after the other in the house next door say that they have a male spirit in the house that always walks around at night asking, where are my girls?
Oh.
Hmm.
Two completely unrelated people having the exact same story about the place couldn't be a coincidence. Newport, and especially the area around Poppets Way, is definitely haunted. anytime I have been in her house, and especially what was once my room, which is the closest in, yeah, which is the closest in the house to the poltergeist house, I felt like something was in the room watching me. And even once when we had first moved in, I saw what appeared to be a person standing near me and staring at me. After that, I never slept in that room again and would feel very eerie even being around that room.
I bet.
Yep. Huh. Just, yeah. Kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like what other areas are built on? Cemeteries or graveyards or graves.
Jerry Polly, the house he grew up in. I remember all his stories.
Yeah, yeah. He grew up in a haunted
house.
Makes
me think similar things like that, you know. And oh, they're terrifying though. But I you know, we talked to so many people like, oh, I lived in a haunted house. And yeah, I saw my first spirit, you know, when I was a little kid. And I'm like, that to me just is,
can
like,
you imagine?
It's wild, right?
Yeah, Jerry, I remember him saying that he would hear, he'd go to sleep and he'd hear talking, like mm-hmm. it was coming through the vents or walls mm-hmm. or something like that. Yeah. And he'd play
music just to keep, drown mm-hmm. it out. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be terrifying. Mm.
I remember he did not like to tell a Ouija board story. And then when he'd tell it
finally
was
did.
So good.
Yeah.
And interesting and spooky, but it was like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. He held it in for a long time.
Yeah.
And when I first started listening to his podcast or their podcast,
he'd mention it, right?
He'd say he had a story, but he wouldn't talk about it. And I'm like, man, what is it?
Yeah.
He finally did. So.
Hmm.
I'm glad he did before he passed, passed on that story. Mm-hmm. But creepy. I definitely did not grow up in a haunted house, so I don't
know. No. Now, there's another comment. He says, who is the man that knocked on the Haney's door? Could this be Kane?
Oh, is that
right? We said, see?
That is I wonder if they got that idea from the story. I don't know. It sounds too...
It's very similar,
yeah,
right?
Very similar.
It was in the 80s, and that's when Poltergeist was made. And so,
yeah.
Who knows?
That's funny. Was it Kane? Yeah, I can see his face right now at the door. Oof. Mm-hmm. Creepy.
You're all going to die.
Yeah.
Thank you. We don't need any. We're not buying.
Right.
My car insurance is fine.
Encyclopedia salesman, go away. We're not buying what you're selling.
No doubt. Gosh, darn. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Well, that was good. The Black Hope Curse. I never heard of it, but I'm glad I did.
Aptly named and spooky. It definitely gets your attention, right?
Yeah. Oh, real quick, it did say some of the clocks, other neighbors had said that some of their clocks stopped at the same time every night.
Oh, now that's weird.
At the same time every night.
That's weird.
Yeah.
You think they're all making that up together?
They're in on it.
In cahoots.
In cahoots. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. I wonder if it stopped at 3 o'clock or 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. The devil's hour. Is it the witching hour or devil's something like that?
Yeah, yep.
So it's somebody's hour.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't know. It might be both. I don't know. The devil, the witch.
They're all in cahoots too, right?
Yeah.
There's not enough talk about cahoots nowadays.
Yeah.
Glad we're bringing it back.
I just love that
word. Black Hope Curse remains a chilling tale of how the past can haunt the present, raising questions about respect for the deceased and the consequences of ignoring history. Mm-hmm. It has been featured in various media, including episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, which helped to popularize the story.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the videos I was watching about it. That's what they said, was it really ignited, you know, the world, or at least the country, to like this era, this story that hadn't really been talked about. So that's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Unsolved Mysteries. I liked it when they did the paranormal and the creepy and the haunted type stuff.
I do too.
It really got your attention.
I can hear the music. I'm not doing it right. I mean, that's good old days there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Man, a lot of podcasters talk about that, or investigators talk about Unsolved Mysteries. Mm-hmm. And what was the one with who plays Spock? I'm drawing blank on.
History's Mysteries or
Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy. What was the pages show? Of history or something? No. Like, or no, that was, oh darn it.
drawing a blank, but he had a popular
Mysterious
show.
Mysterious World or something like that.
No, you're 0 for 2.
I know.
I'm not doing better. I'm not coming up with it, so I can't. Are you looking it up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Slowly.
Slowly?
Yeah, yeah, but a lot of, yeah, unsolved mysteries.
In Search of.
Oh, In Search
of. Yeah, that's why. I was so close. It's so close yet so far away.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I love that show and couldn't think of the name of it. In Search of, yeah. He's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They got, I mean, the stories and all that and the history was great, but the host also made it, you know. Got to have the right host.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I think that was a good good topic to discuss. Mm-hmm. Sean, I'm going to say middle-aged. I want to go, oh, man, I want to go dark side, but I'm going to go moment. I think he's going to come up with a moment from.
Dark side's popping in my head.
Moment.
Ah, two for
man.
Two.
The only reason this played a couple days ago, and I think with something this dark and weird and whatever, we need a little bit of light side.
That's why I don't gamble.
But on the way over, if I would have heard something that would have stuck my head, that would have been dark. I've been like, we're going dark side. So who knows? You never know with me. This is, you're gonna love it though. Weezer, A Little Bit of Love. I think this is an appropriate song for all of us.
I know a lot of Weezer songs, but I can't.
A Little Bit of Love.
Sweater song.
A little bit of love. Yeah. A little bit of love goes a pretty long way. Take a look at where you started from and where you are today. You climbed mountains, swam oceans. You got knocked down and kept going. In the end, you know you've got to say, a little bit of love goes a pretty long way. All your wounds are... You're like, is this really a Weezer song? I promise it is. All your wounds are healing fine. I'm so glad I got you in my life. Now the winter frost is gone, which is appropriate for right now, right? Now is our chance to live the life we want. A little bit of love goes a pretty long way. Everybody's lost, and that's okay. Some show it, some hide it, but there's a battle we're all fighting. So if you're looking for words to say, a little bit of love goes a pretty long way. Holding on to the rabbit's feet, walking down the sunny side of the street, shadows creeping at your back, you can forget them like an amnesiac. Yeah, they put that in a song with lyrics, right? Rhyming scheme, right? A little bit of love goes a pretty long way. Love is really like a wonder drug. Let's medicate and say goodbye to the drama. It's a beeline to Nirvana. If you're looking for words to say, a little bit of love goes a pretty long way. I love that song, honestly. And I hadn't heard it in a long time. Played. And I was like, perfect. This is what we need. It's kind of what we need. I needed it when I heard it a couple days ago. I'm like, just, it's weird times, right? And that's what we need, you know. Got to bind ourselves to love and to each other, and not in a weird, creepy way, like Nate's thinking, saying. He's like, Sean, don't say that. Okay, just go. Yeah. But a little bit of love goes a long way.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got. All
right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all.
That was a good middle-aged moment.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Sean.
You're not just saying that, right?
I am saying it. I'm just saying it. Just trying to make you feel good. Trying to be positive over here. All right. Well, thank you for that. Shout-outs. Nate, do you have any shout-outs this week?
Shout-out to my youngest Dane's basketball team. They played their first playoff game, and they won.
Oh, it was a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
So they get to continue this next weekend.
Yay.
And Harrison won his too.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll play this next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So William did not. Ella, even though she was sick last week with death, basically, the bubonic plague, whatever the heck it was.
The picture you sent me of her, I was like, poor thing. Good grief. She looked miserable.
She did. And Saturday, she still wasn't any better. And I told Jenna, I'm like, there's no way basketball is happening tomorrow for her. She just traveled basketball. And she said, well, we'll see. And so Ella was... As by all accounts, as drugged as we could get her, she wasn't running a fever, and she played both games.
Really?
She did. She played like a little beast, and she did pretty well. And then Monday, Jenna goes, "Uh-oh, I think we might have overdone it." And I was like, "Ah!" So she almost, but she went to school and she was
good.
She just had a really bad headache. She's feeling bad. She's back to being crabby and all this stuff. And I'm like, "Crap, here we go again." But she didn't have any problems. But yeah, she still was involved.
Yeah, you got to be careful of that.
I know, I mean, the whole Michael Jordan thing, like, hey, yeah, this is really tough, but it's like, you don't want to
die. That was her flu game,
she's
right?
She's only 12. I don't want to, she doesn't need to be buckle anything.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah.
Okay, well, good.
So yeah, so shout out to Ella and her team, and they won their championship. And then I did want to shout out a high school friend of mine, Mike. I had dinner with him. We went to Grindstone off the trail, the Monon, and had a nice steak dinner. And he bought my first official copy of my book.
Oh, nice!
That I signed for his daughter for her graduation. And she's graduating this year, and we got to catch up. I hadn't seen him since high school, so 29 years almost. Our next year is our 30th high school anniversary or whatever reunion, and it was nice to catch up. Weirdest thing is we're sitting there. I'm looking for the kid that I walked across the stage with, right? You know, to graduate. He's not that kid anymore, and I'm not the kid either. But it's just funny. I'm like, oh, that's Mike, just in an adult body, and we had a real nice time talking, catching up. And inevitably, I knew we would. Like, all right, who's still alive? Who's dead? You know, and all these things. And it's like, it's funny. He told me a few people I didn't know had passed, and I told him some, and it's interesting. You know, like, oh my gosh, like I'm just, and we were both like, glad we're not one on that list. You know, but
you tried.
I did try.
Yeah, you did.
I told him about that. He knew a little bit because he said he hadn't been on social media for years, and then he was on some, I forget what video game, he said he had to have Facebook, and so he got back on there, and he's like, Johnny had a podcast, and then all of a sudden he's like, you're writing a book. He's like, oh my gosh. He's like, I just wanted you to know I was proud of you. He's like, I reached out and like, hey, I'm really proud of you. Mm-hmm. And he said, I didn't know if you had any plans for your first copy, you know, and he's like, I wanted to, you know, he paid me a good amount of money for it, and which I really appreciated. And I told him, obviously don't need to do that, but he's like, no, I'm very proud of you. I appreciate it. So it was just nice. It was nice catching up. And so, yeah, he's a good dude.
Awesome.
He's funny. He's the same guy that I remember in high school. And he is. He's a good dude. So shout out to Mike.
Question is Mike going to listen to the podcast?
That's
the main thing.
Out to our cars. We were in the parking lot. And he said, now, I haven't listened to your podcast, but I will. And I said, listen, okay. I tell people this all the time. It's like green eggs and ham. You think, I don't like this. And you find every reason that you don't like it. And then you listen to it. You're like, I like green eggs and ham. So I said, have fun with
it. What does that mean? What is he talking about, man?
You know what I mean? Remember green eggs ham? Like, everybody's like, oh, I don't like green eggs ham.
I think he has a fever.
I got a fever.
I thought you were going to say, like certain episodes, because I know some people, like, they don't like aliens, but they like, they want to hear a ghost story. Or they do like aliens.
That's my other way of saying it, is it's like a buffet.
Yeah.
Like, look what, find what you like. And right. I always
steer people. As long as he listens, that's all I care about.
I steer people towards, what is it? The crop circles. Start with crop circles. You'll love it.
I always tell new listeners or new potential listeners, listen to the most recent.
Number one.
And work your way back. All right, I'll say start in the middle, because don't listen to the first few because you won't continue. So it took a while to find our groove, I think, but we did. So
99. What was that? 99 episodes.
Yeah. About 200 in. Finally found it. All right. Let's see. Shout outs for me. I'm going to shout out to the church I work for, Plainfield Christian Church. We had our first Sunday evening service in just about 20 years. Because when I started working there in September of 2005, they had Sunday evening service. And see, when I met my ex-wife, okay, so we were dating. That was November of 2006. I did my testimony on a Sunday evening service. And then shortly after that, they decided it was not, like, the attendance was not worth keeping the lights on for. Mm-hmm. So they did away with it. So somewhere in 07 or 08, so it's, yeah, so 17, 18 years.
Long time.
And then they decided it's time to kind of alleviate some of the pressure on the morning, you know, services. And I went, and it went well. It was great. Good attendance. Everybody was pretty happy with it. So I think it's going to be positive for people that maybe can't make it on a Sunday morning for whatever reason.
I always thought it was a different feel. I used to go to evening services when we were kids. If we didn't make it in the morning, we'd go in the evening.
It was a good vibe.
Or like there's Wednesday evening too, and we used to go to.
Yeah.
It is a different vibe. It really is.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's like late morning is like chill, and evening is like super, super chill.
There was good energy. It was really good. Everybody was into it. And it was
a good way to end your weekend too.
So, yeah, I mean, it went well. So shout out to the church for putting on a good Sunday evening service. Let's see. Do I have any other shout outs? Can't think of any. Shout out to my daughter. She has a show choir performance tomorrow. I'll go see her and check that out. So proud of her. They did they had their first or second competition.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, I think. I it was way out of town. I didn't go, but a lot of the kids, you know, got first or second place, mm-hmm. and they That's did. Awesome. They but as a group, as a you know the, mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank. What's the group?
Ensemble.
Bells and Bows. Mm-hmm. They did. They performed well, I guess. Everybody, nice. The guy was proud. Yeah, Hummel, the director, he was proud of how they all did. So shout out to her for doing well in show choir. Awesome. Yeah, proud of her. So that's my shout outs.
Yeah, nice.
That's the first time I think in weeks
we all had something good, right?
We had a string there that I don't know. No shout out for me.
Something good, right?
Like all right. It. Well,
it's the weather.
That's right. It's perking us up.
Yeah. Need something. All right. That's the end of shout outs. We have a sponsorship. Let's play that. Hey, creepies. Do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Marka Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts. We appreciate your sponsorship. Love you guys.
Love them dearly.
Yes. Fantastic establishment.
I cannot wait to see him in June.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Maybe I'll try to see him sooner than that. But
Whispers Estate. I know that's not. We're not making any announcements. What's that have to do? They'll be there. Did you know that?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a surprise. They're you know how they investigate.
Yeah,
they're going to be there.
Well, I don't even know when it is. When is it?
I don't know. I have to look at the April.
April.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ignore.
I can't remember anything.
This is a side conversation, right?
I can't remember anything about it. Did you know this, Nate?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember talking about it, but I don't remember like a date or anything. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
All right. Well, we appreciate their sponsorship.
I'll have to look.
I'm going to confirm. Leave it to Sean.
I know.
Huh. Okay. Well, like I said,
I'll check on that date. I'm pretty darn sure about it. Yeah.
So, okay. And if not, I'll see him in June.
Mm-hmm.
So. Man, that's 4 months away, though. That's too long.
Sounds like too long. That's why we can't do it in April. Yay.
It's on a Saturday?
I think so. It's Saturday. Yeah, let me look. I don't know what the calendar is. No, I don't know.
April. Don't worry about us, creepies. We're just trying to figure
April
out.
18th. April 18th. I even have it marked, yes.
Okay.
We're going to get...
Mitchell, Indiana.
We're going to get some of our favorite creepies together, right?
Hmm. And that's the one Austin's leading, right?
That's right.
And Lydia. Okay. All right.
We're giving this free pub, right?
Now that I know that, all right. Well, anyway, moving on. Thank you again for your sponsorship.
We all talk, right?
Yeah. Sean, do you have second announcements?
I do. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram, and we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some.
Yeah.
Merch.
Merch.
I told somebody the other day we had merch. I said we have people that bought sweatshirts, t-shirts, coffee mugs. I said we have stickers, wristbands.
Doilies.
No, we don't have
doilies. No doilies.
No doilies.
I don't know. Hey, aprons? No.
Yeah. Probably no, not aprons. I told somebody the other day we had merch. I'm kind of proud of that we have.
That's right.
Some people have our logo on on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cousin Eddie would want a dicky. I think I said that before.
I have our logo on my shoulder.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Went out to dinner last night with coworkers from work and obviously from work. And we were talking about tattoos and I said, "Yeah, I've got the logo on my shoulder," and Brad was like, "Oh, that's right." Yeah,
you're like, "Look, I can make Sean talk."
Yeah, first announcements.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or make him shut up.
I do the dad joke, and then Nate does. Yeah, just looking over. All right. Well, thank you, Sean, for that. Nate.
Yeah,
it's your turn.
Everything's going black.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not a curse.
Oh
no,
that's a wrap,
man.
That's right.
That was smooth. That came together.
Like butter. Like butter.
Man, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
You're a professional.
Pro.
You're a pro That's a rap guy.
Not in the dark.
Professionale. Well, thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 257 and our discussion on the Black Hope Curse. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.